Well, shall we turn again to God's Word? 1 Samuel chapter number 22, please. We thought in the earlier session about one man. One man linked to David. And I'm going to suggest that that man, when we consider all that he stands for and all that he did, I'm going to suggest that he was marked by one who gave every bit of his life to David. He gave his robe. He gave his garments. He gave his all. Every department of his life is marked by giving his all to David. 1 Samuel chapter number 22, and we'll pick up the reading at verse number 1. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress and everyone that was in debt and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him. And he, that's David, became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. And the Lord will bless the reading of his holy word. Now, I did promise you I wouldn't read a lot in the next session, so I'm through to my word. All right. We were thinking of men, and we're thinking of lessons about men that were linked to David. And we thought very, very, very briefly this morning, as in our introduction, that David is a wonderful type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here we have 400 men linked to David. You will notice that these 400 men generally are not named. All right? Later on in our studies, we're going to think of one or two or maybe even up to 30 men who perhaps were named. But on this occasion, there are 400 men who were linked to David in a time of his rejection. Now, we ended off our last session and we thought of Jonathan, the son of a king, whose heart was knit together with David, and he identified himself, he left the palace and he went to David in a time of rejection. That tells me that there is human, personal responsibility that you and I have of being linked with David. So you can't exclude yourself. All right. But in this portion, we are going to read of a fairly large company of people, men, who are going to be linked with David. Now, we read in our opening verse that these men were gathered to David in the cave of Adullam. I want to suggest today, for our learning and for our instruction, and we know that Paul writes and he says the things that are written aforetime were written for our learning, isn't it? And we must apply these lessons to our own hearts, and we must see how we can grow and learn from these lessons. These 400 men, they're going to be linked with David. We'll come to that a little bit later. But they're going to assemble themselves, gather themselves in the cave of Adullam. Now, Adullam really means refuge. So I just want to spend a few minutes And I want to liken this cave of Adullam to the local assembly. Our brother, as he's been speaking, has made mention over and over this afternoon about the local assembly, the local church. Now, forgive me. I trust everyone here understands what a local assembly is. I trust every one of us understand fully what a local church is. Now, this is a lovely building. And when my wife and I came up and we were dropped here, we saw the plaques of the building on the side. This is a lovely building. And another brother said, well, this was built in 1956, whatever it was, I can't remember. It's a beautiful building. But dear friends, brethren and sisters in Christ, this building is not the church. Have you got it? This is just a meeting place. All right? The church is not a building here, physical building. Peter writes and he says, we as believers are being built up a spiritual house. All right? And you and I are living stones being built up a spiritual house. That's why I don't like to say I'm going to church. All right? I am the church, isn't it? We're going to a meeting with the church. So I like to say I'm going to meeting. We must. I know it sounds petty, but it invokes discussion amongst friends, isn't it? Well, they'll ask you, well, what are you doing on Sunday? I'm going to a meeting. Oh, what are we doing at the meeting? Well, it's a meeting of the church. All right. Satan has deceived so many by building beautiful buildings. All right. All over the world. My wife and I have just been to the UK. Beautiful cathedrals. And they call that the church. That's a deception, isn't it? You and I, we are the church. The moment you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and your personal Savior, you became part of the church. I trust we enjoy that, brethren and sisters, and we value it. That's the church universal. And God is building His church. But you and I, we have the privilege of being a member of a local fellowship or a local assembly. Now down here, this one's called Ellis Road. I come from Takapuna. And others go to other local assemblies. I trust, can I challenge you? Do you understand the distinctives of a local church? All right? What makes this church here, this local assembly, different to our friends around the corner? All right? There are a lot of young people here today. We're very glad to see you. Make it your purpose that you study, as our brother's been saying, the Word of God and have an understanding of the pattern and the principles of a New Testament assembly. All right. Now, I am third generation in, can I use the word in inverted commas? Because I don't like that word. Third generation in the assembly, the Brethren Assembly. All right. But a moment came in my life as a teenager where I needed to fully understand the distinctives of a local church. All right? It's not my purpose today to go through those distinctives. But as an example, Why do we gather in the way that we do? Why do we believe in the priesthood of all believers? All right? It's only when we understand the principles of a New Testament assembly that we in our own lives will have a conviction to be obedient to the Word of God. Our brother held up his Bible earlier on, and I couldn't concur with him more. Let's not follow after men or ministries or whoever they might be. God bless them for what they're doing. Paul said, did Apollos die for you? Did Paul die for you? Did Cephas die for you? He says in the Corinthians, it is Christ who has died. It is his church. There are many good missions and organizations, whoever they might be, God bless them. But we follow Christ. We believe in the Lordship of Christ. We believe in the headship of God. We believe in local testimony, assembly testimony principles. Now these men, they were gathered to David in the cave of Adullam. Now before we come to them, I want to just say about the local testimony, the local assembly, I want to suggest to you today that this cave of Adullam was a place of safety and refuge. That's the meaning of it, refuge. David was rejected, his life was in danger, and he went, as it were, to the place of refuge. My brother, my sister, the assembly of the Lord's people, the local assembly is a place, it should be a place, of safety and security. It should be a place of divine preservation. My brother was talking about my alliteration earlier on. I'm sorry about that, but it's the only way I can remember things, all right? With a bit of alliteration. The place of divine preservation. And when you and I are members of a local assembly, we are in a place of divine preservation. You say to your brother Simeon, what are you talking about? All right. You and I need to be preserved from false teaching. You and I need to be preserved from false doctrine. All right. And the place of divine preservation is the local assembly. Read verse 17 of our chapter. 1 Samuel chapter number 22, verse number 17. Saul, a rejected king, rejected by God because of his disobedience to the word of God. Listen what he does. In verse 17, and the king, this is all, said unto the footman, and stood about him, and turned, and slay the priest of the Lord, because their hand also is with David. Saul, the king of Israel, put to death the priests of Israel. How sad. Verse number 21. And Abiathar showed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priest. Here's one man left who was saved. You read the account. He escaped. He was saved. His whole entire family of priests were killed by Saul. His whole family. They were priests. And he comes to David and he shows David that this is what Saul did. And David said to Abiathar, I knew it. Verse 23. This is what David says. Abide thou with me. Fear not, For he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life, but with me thou shalt be in safeguard. David was in the cave. Abiathar, he says, now listen, you stay with me and there will be safety. Now the place, the local assembly should be the place of divine preservation. Mind you, can I say to the elders of the local church, our brothers made mention of it already, they have the responsibility to feed the flock of God. Right? The Lord said to Peter on an occasion, John 21, he said, now Simon, Simon, lovest thou me more than these? He said, Lord, you know that I love you, and so forth. We know the account. Feed my sheep. 10 by lambs. Feed my sheep. The local assembly, our brother's been reading in Corinthians, God has given it the gifts in the local church for its preservation, for its upbuilding, and those who have the responsibility of teaching, we need to do it in the fear of God. All right, the place of divine preservation. I'm going to suggest that the local assembly is a place of separation. All right? If there's a place of divine preservation, it is also the place of separation. You see, on this occasion, these men, they left the palace of Saul. They left the palace and the beauty and all that it presented. And they came to the cave of Adullam. All right? Now, I want to develop that a little bit more later on, so we'll leave that. Hebrews 13:13, easy verse to remember. Hebrews 13, verse 13. This is what it says. Now, let us go therefore unto him, without the camp, bearing his reproach. We leave organized religion. We leave organizations and we simply gather together to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and enjoy the fellowship of the Lord's people. All right? We believe, brothers and sisters, in the autonomy of a local testimony, a local assembly. We need to hold on to these truths, brothers and sisters. They've been lost. All right? They've been lost. These men knew the principle of divine separation. And then thirdly, I want to suggest to you that the place, the assembly, not only is it a place of divine preservation and a place of separation, it is the place of divine power. All right? Our brother's been telling us about the power of the gospel. Now listen to what Paul says. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 8. He's speaking here to those at Thessalonica, a local assembly, a local church. He says, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith towards God, or Godward, is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. I couldn't concur with that brother even more. Sometimes I wonder, do we want people to get saved? Why don't we preach the gospel? That's a challenge to my heart, brothers and sisters. Why is it that the first meeting that closes down is a gospel meeting? Has God lost its power? No. Paul says the place, the assembly, is the place of divine power. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. If we are not telling men and women, boys and girls, that they must be saved, and that Christ has died for their sins, and that they are on their way to a lost eternity because of their sinful condition, how are they going to get saved? How are they going to get saved? Paul writes to the Thessalonians, he says, from out of you, out of your local church, sounded forth the gospel. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation, even unto them that believe on his name. Christ has died for sins. Christ loved men and women, boys and girls. He gave his life for it. And now we are laborers together with him in the preaching of the gospel. You know, we shouldn't strive with one another, isn't it? All right? We shouldn't. But the Bible says we must strive together for the preaching of the gospel. Have you got it? Can I challenge you? When last have you preached the gospel to the unsaved? All right? That's not a judgment. It's just a challenge. Okay. And I ask myself the question too. The place of divine preservation. The place of separation. The place of divine power. Now what then was so special about this cave? All right. And this is my message today. We read in these verses, and I'm going to suggest to you that for these 400 men, because this is really my topic, okay, that was a sideline, okay, about men linked with David, and the lessons that we can learn from these men. The clock is the enemy again. All right. We read in our opening verse that there was a person that drew them. Did we read that? We read in verse 1 there, David therefore departed thence, and he was in the cave of Adullam, and when his brethren and his father's house and these 400 men heard that he had, they were gathered to him. In the assembly that you are in, why are you there? The Lord said in Matthew's gospel, didn't he? Matthew 18 verse 20. Where two or three having been gathered together, there am I. Have you got it? These 400 men, his brethren, these 400 men, they were gathered in the cave of Adullam. Why? Because David was there. That begs the challenge, brothers and sisters. Why do we gather together? Because it's a nice, beautiful building. Because there are nice people. That's lovely. Because the architecture is great. That will never keep us. We gather together because he is here. That will change our focus, isn't it? My brother, my sister, the Lord is in our presence. Mind you, if we valued and recognized that he has promised to be with us, we won't miss a meeting, eh? Because we're there because the Lord's there. It changes our focus, doesn't it? The person who drew them was David. Now, can I say this with all kindness? Popular people won't draw people, all right? for a long time. Might be for one meeting or two or 10 or a year, but they'll never keep them. Entertainment will never, ever, ever keep people. All right? You can try every type of thing you want to try. There's only one thing that should draw you and me, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The person who drew them. They, verse 2 says, were gathered unto him. David was the attraction. And in the local assembly, we are gathered into and unto the name of an organization? No. We gathered unto him. May the Lord help us. All right? The name on the outside of this building is just a name to know what the building is and where it is, right? But we gather here into and unto the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what about the presence that kept them? The person who drew them, David. What about the presence that kept them? It says there that there were 400 men, and they came to this cave because David was there. He was linked to it, but he was right in the midst of them. The presence that kept them. I don't know about you. I come from South Africa, and we have some beautiful caves. There's a place called the Kango Caves, and if you ever visit South Africa, it is a stunning place to visit. All right, absolutely lovely. But I'd rather be in my bedroom at home. All right, okay. What was it in this cave that kept these men? There were no facilities. There were no toilets. There was no lights. It was a horrible place per se, all right, to stay in. What kept these men there? David was there. All right. My brother, my sister, what keeps you in the local assembly? It's certainly not the people, all right. You know, it said, to dwell above with folks we love, now that will just be glorious. To dwell below with folks we know, now that's another story, right? Brothers and sisters, we all come from different backgrounds. We're going to see this about these men shortly, right? And we disagree with each other and we rub each other in the wrong way. That's natural, isn't it? But it's not the men and the children and the people and the friends that keep us. It is the very presence of the Lord. The person who drew them, David, his presence amongst them kept them. The place of divine presence. Now, very, very quickly, what about the power that controlled him? In verse 2, we read there in our verse that there were men who were distressed and they were in debt and they were in discontented. And it says there that these men, from this interesting description, it says, you know what they did? They made David their captain. And David, it says there, became a captain over them. And there was about 400 men. Now, this was, our brother spoke earlier on about the Mockley 12 disciples, all right? They came from different backgrounds, but here's 400 men. All right. And 400 men and the description of them, I don't think it's men that you and I perhaps would learn to be associated with. Right? Men who were discontented. That's a challenge to your heart and mind. What kind of believer am I? All right. These men, they were discontented. They were in debt. Why?
You see, that's the results of Saul's kingship. All right?
The people came to Samuel and they said to Samuel, Samuel, man, give us a king just like the nations round about us. And Samuel was displeased, isn't it? Samuel went to the Lord and the Lord said to Samuel, Samuel, they've not rejected you. They've rejected me. And the Lord said, Samuel, give them a king. But warn them. The king that you get, he'll take your children. He'll take your goods. He'll tax you. He'll take your time. Here we see the results of that choice that they made. All right? That's what they chose. Can I say? Be careful what you ask for. All right? You may get it, but it will come at a cost. These men were being pressed by Saul, discontented, in debt. We read it there. Distressed. Now, this was a motley crowd. Living in conditions in the cave that was unsuitable for living standards. Now, can you try to control 400 men in this condition? Right? I've got 4 children and I can't control them sometimes, right? You parents know what it's about. What was the power that controlled these men? This man that was discontented, in debt, distressed, but says David became their captain. My brother, my sister, what controls you? What controls you in your assembly? I can't just do what I like, brothers and sisters. I must be guided by the word of God. You know what the Lord Jesus said? He said, now listen. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. You got it? I don't obey the word of God because the elders told me to, which is a good thing to do, because the Bible says about them that have the rule over you. I do it because God's word says so. Have you got it? I can see someone running amok in the cave and someone comes to me and says, hold on, oh, David said don't do that. What does he do? I don't know, I've never been in the army, all right? Okay, but maybe some of you have. But when a command comes, all right, we need to obey it. My brother, my sister, our brother has made it very clear. Every difficulty in your life can be solved by the word of God. Have you got it? Every problem in the local assembly, it can be resolved and solved by the word of God. The word of God must be the final court of appeal. All right? Have you got it? These men, a motley crowd, they had a power that controlled them, and that power was David became the captain. This is what they said. Whatever he says, we will do. Mind you, remember there when the Lord turned the water into wine? What did Mary tell those servants to do? Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. All right? The assembly has a power that controls it. The word of God. All right? David became their captain. Now, what about the prospect that encouraged them? What about the prospect that encouraged them? 2 Samuel chapter 2. Please, this I must finish with. 2 Samuel chapter 2. The person who drew them, the presence that kept them, the power that controlled them. Now, what about the prospect that encouraged them? I want to leave this with you because this should be an encouragement to you, right? As it has been for me. 2 Samuel chapter 2 and verse number 3. Perhaps to get the connection, let's read verse number 2. And it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said unto him, go up. And David said, whither shall I go? And he said, unto Hebron. Now this account comes after the death of Saul and Jonathan. And David now inquires of the Lord, shall I go up? You see, David wasn't forward. David knew he was the anointed king. He had been anointed king right in his father's house. And now he says, the Lord says, you go up to Hebron. Now look what it says here in verse number 3. Verse number 2 says, David went up with his two wives and so forth. And verse number 3 says, and his men that were with him. Where were they with him? In the time of his rejection. In the cave of Adullam. These men that suffered with David outside the camp. These men who were controlled by David. These men who gathered themselves to David. These men who enjoyed his presence. In a time of rejection. Now, when David is about to ascend the throne, when he's going to be anointed over a unified Israel. It says here, his men that were with him, David bring up every man with his household, and they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. And the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. Here's the prospect that encouraged these men. And this should be the prospect that encourages you. You know what the Bible says? In 2 Timothy 2:12. If we suffer with him in a time of his rejection, that's now. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. You got it? We read there in Romans 8 verse 17, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. You see, these men were prepared to suffer with David in the cave of Adullam in a time of David's rejection. But when David ascended the throne, he brought these men with us. Can we understand it? Sinners of the deepest dye, distressed that we are and were in our sinful condition, in debt, right? Discontented with life. But because the Lord Jesus Christ has saved us, and we have been drawn to him, and we have been gathered to him, and yes, we suffer with him outside the camp of organized religion. And we gather just a few of us here today. Here's the prospect that encourages you. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. May the Lord encourage your heart just to continue to suffer with him. But also recognize that crowning day is coming, when we too will reign with him for his name's sake. Shall we close in prayer? Our Father, we again thank thee for thy good word. We thank thee that thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And that it is in thy word that we read that thy word have we laid upon our heart, hid in our hearts, that we might not sin against thee. Help us to appreciate the local testimony and the very presence of the Lord amongst us. Help us to appreciate what it stands for. They, the ground and pillar of truth, a testimony to those around about us of the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us in our daily lives just to make the Lord Jesus Christ our captain. And that as we read thy word, as we've been thinking of this personal sanctification, being washed in the water of the word of God, that it might be for our upbuilding, our cleansing, and that we too might be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our prayer as we give thee thanks again for Christ's sake. Amen.